Yes, and it's our appointment, our weekly appointment with Dr. Raymond Hamdan, clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. He's here to offer guidance and advice on those emotional issues affecting your life today. You can also connect with us, of course, through Facebook and Twitter, at Suzanne Radford on Twitter, and connect through our website, dubaieye1038.com. There you go. Now, we're talking about tempers, losing one's temper. What is it that flicks the switch and we explode? We want to hear from you this morning on 4001. Now, lots and lots of messages coming in, Raymond. And let's just have a look here. One that is regarding, let me just see. Here we go. Sorry, so many are coming in now with the competition. My system is going into overdrive. That's my text message system, not me physically. Okay, well, that might happen by the end of the show. I don't know.
Well, it depends on where the temperature is.
Okay, here we go. So thank God I live a fairly good life. I have a wonderful wife and lovely three children. But I have a problem that I lose my temper and my mood swings 360 degrees at any moment and for just a silly reason. This may last for days, or even weeks. Any advice on this, please? So there's temper that actually then becomes in a mood that you stay in this very bad mood for days.
Well, not knowing what's going on physically with this individual, if we look at it psychologically without the physiological implications, which we would examine if the person was actually in a real session with us, we would want to look at the person globally. However, let's look at the behavior. What is the secondary gain to staying angry? What is the benefit? Are you going to get more attention? You're going to be able to control people around you? Do you like the idea that people are walking on eggshells around you? And this becomes your excuse. You can blame something else or somebody else to be in control. So you need to ask yourself, what is it that you gain by being such a difficult person if something does upset you? And again, as mentioned before our 3:30 news thing, you choose how you're going to behave, how you're going to think, and how you're going to feel. To say that you make me angry whenever you say that is not true. The fact is, you choose to be angry at something that is said. Because two people could hear the same thing, and one might get angry, the other will just laugh it off. It also is important to know that the people that you're dealing with may mean a lot more to you than somebody else, and therefore your sensitivity with that person could be something more. So taking responsibility for how you think, feel, and behave is going to certainly help you control that anger. But also you have to ask yourself, why do I need to be angry? And the word is need. Why do I need to be angry? Or why do I want to be angry? What is my benefit? And if it's affecting people around you negatively because they have to walk on eggshells, you might get your wish one day and not have anybody around you at all. So looking at yourself first, asking yourself those questions will certainly help you look at ways of controlling your behavior more openly. Now, what that means in controlling your behavior more openly is not just as easy as saying, okay, I'm not going to be angry anymore, especially if it's a conditioned response. So what you need to do is look at what is about that anger for you. What did you learn about that anger? How do you react to it? What are the trigger points for you? What do you get angry about? What do you don't get angry about? What is it that a person may do or say that another person could do or say that doesn't bother you? Recognizing these signs that are very important about becoming angry. And then what is the response? What is the frustration? Controlling the anger. It's not very healthy, I can tell you that. So you may be needing to look at more of the positive stuff, like when I explode, what is the underlying feeling? Like if you feel resentment, you ask yourself, what am I feeling guilty about? If you feel angry, you ask yourself, what is it that hurt my feelings?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? What is it, the reasons why? But also, can we find ways to, a tool almost, a mechanism for ourselves to put it into place? And is it the case if we can manage our temper, can this remain the same forever so we never lose our temper again? Somebody's texting here saying, in our company, we have the owner who interferes in everyone's job. He has a very big temper and has a very negative effect on the rest of us. And really makes us feel stress and puts us under pressure. I'm currently pregnant and the situation at work has a very negative effect on me. So I'm thinking of leaving the company to take care of my pregnancy. What would you advise?
Take care of the pregnancy. Leave the company. You have no reason to feel responsible or guilty for someone who owns a company that is behaving in that way. You have to look after yourself, number one. That person who owns a company that behaves that way may be because of their own insecurities, that the only way they can feel that people are going to recognize how good they are is when they get angry and you're forced to look at how good they are, but you're not really looking at how good they are. You're looking at avoiding the consequences of disagreeing, even if they're wrong. So that kind of unpleasant atmosphere of walking on eggshells does not make going to sleep at night very pleasant, because you're thinking about having to get up the next morning and go to that horrible place. When you do wake up in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed. You'd rather just sleep it through, come up with an excuse, and you probably think of a million reasons not to go to work. Now, there are ways to deal with that, because if you're a loyal person who enjoys that type of business, you just want to change the behaviors of certain people, you can actually address this. The way you address it, you get the majority of the people who agree with you to go in friendship to that individual and indicate that there's a major concern. This kind of helpful behavior is less threatening because the person has to realize that they are doing something that requires change. Now, what they might say is, but look, I always treat you fairly. I always give you gifts and things like that. Well, that's nice of you to give gifts, but you can take away those gifts and give us a pleasant atmosphere, and we're going to be much happier. Because if you remember what we've talked about many times before, is there's a balance here. And a negative is not a one-to-one ratio with a positive. Even if it's a mild negative, it can take as much as 5 positives just to balance it. That doesn't mean you're adding positives to your emotional bank account at work. If it's a moderate kind of a negative, it takes 7 to 10 positives to balance it. If it's a severe negative, it can take more than 18 positives to balance it. So just because you have an explosion and you buy somebody a gift doesn't make it go away. After a while, they don't want a gift. They just want good behavior, a pleasant atmosphere. Because what we realize is that materialistic things do not constitute happiness. It's actually the ambiance that the individual deals with, the way that they're trusted, respected, dealt with in the matter of adherence to value. People want to feel like they belong, that they're being productive, that they are shown some type of integrity. And when you attack a person, that takes away from their psychological integrity, even when it doesn't threaten their physical integrity.
Yeah, other reasons for losing one's temper. Now, it could be to do with hormones, a hormonal imbalance. Now, there's a couple of messages on this matter. Let's start with this one first. This is from a lady saying that I have a serious problem. When I have my monthly cycle, about 7 days before my period, the whole family suffers. I know it's affecting my life with my husband. He can't stand it anymore. I'm a mother of 3 children, and I try very hard to control my temper, but I end up crying every time I shout, please help me. And you know, you're not alone. Many women suffer from premenstrual tension, PMS, all these. When your body is going through changes, it can affect your mood and your behavior.
Some people are more vulnerable than others, and what now is called PMDD, premenstrual dysmorphic disorder. It's going to be interesting to see what they're going to call it in the next diagnostic manual, which will be published next year. But it's still the same thing. And what happens is some people are more vulnerable. Now, men have a 33-day cycle, as women have a 28-day cycle. And sometimes it can manifest itself with that same kind of irritability. Some researchers have looked at diet, believing that some people are having difficulty with carbohydrates. Unfortunately, one of the people that actually did this work in England didn't have a control study. So it was very difficult for physicians and psychologists to implement the work, even though it was sound work and it actually had a good reputation for its results. It didn't get the scientific backing that it needed. It's also important to find a gynecologist, of course, if you're a woman. A man would not go to a gynecologist. I want to make that very clear on this show, okay? Women go to gynecologists. So if you are a woman, go to a gynecologist who actually understands and appreciates PMDD, which used to be called PMS and PMT. Some physicians don't. And the reason that they don't, it doesn't always show up on blood test, urinalysis, and the various kinds of instruments to measure, even an fMRI. So when some physicians are raised in a very strict scientific formula in their studies, they have difficulty looking at the abstracts. That doesn't mean they're bad physicians. It has to do with their personality preference. Some people like to just deal with facts and details. But you do have physicians also who are happy to deal with the esoteric side of medicine, or not the mystical, but certainly the abstract side, where you don't have to see everything in an x-ray or in a blood test for it to exist. It's kind of like the quantum medical side of things. So if your physician appreciates that quantum understanding of medicine, then that's the person you want to deal with. You'll be put on certain diets. You may be given certain herbs
and supplements
to help you balance out that. So it's not your fault. And that's the other point that I want to make sure, and I should have referred to that first. It is not your fault. It's not something that is so easily controllable that somebody can say, how dare you behave that way, shape up, or I'm going to put you in jail. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, the fact is, it's a chemical imbalance. It does have a very significant effect on our emotions, the way we think, and the way we behave. So rather than blaming yourself and thinking that you're the person who's wrong and bad, you and your family need to appreciate that there is help. This is PMDD, premenstrual dysmorphic disorder. Find a gynecologist who can actually help you in appreciation with this kind of an abstract formula.
When we come back, we'll be looking at another form of hormonal imbalance as well. Somebody's texting and has an issue with their pituitary gland, and they're taking medication for their hormones, and it's giving them terrible mood swings. So we'll address that and more in just a moment.